Welcome back to the Better Everyday Podcast, where we're unlocking our best self one episode at a time. My name is Grace Garcia, and this is my husband, David Garcia.
You had to think about it for a while.
No, I didn't.
You said this, my husband, David Garcia.
I said husband. Like, what else are you going to be? Hus.
I love you too.
Okay, so it's my turn to do the theme or topic, lesson, podcast.
Wait. Give an update. People are wondering. How's your health journey going? People want to hold you accountable after that last one. So many messages came in to me. Were
no,
like,
they did not.
We want to hold Grace accountable.
I want receipts. I want to see proof. I have been doing my physical therapy exercises for my diastasis recti because in my head I'm like, why am I going to go to these sessions? Like, you have to do the work because it's only once a week.
Yeah.
So I'm like, no, I want this to be healed. So I'm doing the work. So I'm pretty proud of that. And then my Pilates, my last session was Wednesday because I finished my 5-day or five classes new membership promo thing they had going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to deep clean. My family's coming on Thursday. So I was like deep cleaning all day Saturday, all day
Sunday.
Why
are they coming on Thursday?
My brother's wedding. Shout out, Jesse.
The last Perez kid getting married.
Yeah, I'm so excited. It's going to be emotional. It's going to be fun. It's going to be awesome. Chaotic with the... When I say full house, I'm talking about full house. Like dog and everything. But... Oh, I had a deep clean Saturday and Sunday. When I mean deep clean, my husband can tell you, like, he was annoyed. Like, why are you cleaning that? Why are you cleaning that? And I'm like, this is what deep cleaning is. Like, who else is going to clean it? Not even the maids, I think. We don't have maids, but I'm saying. They won't even clean it. Like, I clean it. So that was actually physically exhausting. Like, my back hurt the next day. But David and I did a deal. I don't know if I told you guys this last session where... Pilates is expensive. So when I pay, like I'll pay half and then he'll pay half. And I don't want you guys to think like we don't have one account because we do.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's so important if you're married. What's mine is his and et cetera. Maybe this is hypocritical of me. But I have.
Oh, because you say what's mine is his.
But then going to say I have my own side.
Yeah. No, what you mean is what's his is mine, but what's mine is mine.
No, because what's mine is not even all mine. So you guys know I'm a little hustler. I know my life, like I have a bougie standard. Right now, you can tell I'm struggling if my nails are not done. Because I usually try to get like every 2 weeks, every month. So the TikTok has been slow a little bit. And so I'm not getting like the usual money. And then when I do get it, I have like things to pay. Brooke Williams. I mean, it's not even like things that I have to pay, but they're expenses I've accumulated. So basically I couldn't afford the Pilates anymore. But I think this week anyway is going to be busy with family. So I'll do it next week.
Yeah. But that you're going to do it, you're going to do it.
Oh, yeah. I love it. It's not like I'm, it's not out of discouragement. It's not of like, oh, I'm exhausted. Like, if I could do it, I could do it. I would.
And the cool thing, though, is that apparently you're training for a half marathon and running is free.
Not the way I run. No, it is. But I was following my schedule. So I did the intervals.
Yeah.
Whenever that day was. I think it was a Thursday.
I don't remember.
And then Friday was rest day. Saturday was Pilates day, which I missed. I did deep cleaning. Sunday was supposed to be a long walk. And then Monday, it's all day busy.
This is through ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Tuesday's physical therapy. Tomorrow's supposed to be Pilates.
Mm-hmm.
And then Thursday's my intervals, which maybe is not a good. I feel like that's a long in between.
I mean, Thursdays, are you actually going to do your intervals?
Yeah, I'll do it. Oh, it's because I have family.
You might as well do it tomorrow. You don't have Pilates tomorrow.
Yeah, you're right. And the Elijah doesn't have soccer, so it'll be earlier.
Yeah.
I could do it tomorrow.
Okay. Well, that's the update on her accountability. She's staying on top of it.
Do you think I'm staying on top of it? Because I feel like it's one thing to think I'm staying on top of it.
Well,
and then there's another, like,
from I think it's cool that when I wake up in the morning, you're like right tight up against the wall doing these little scissor thingamabobs and you have some makeshift band.
No, you don't notice that as soon as I wake up, I'm laying in bed and I'm like,
are you doing your exercises?
Yes.
I'm like, she's laying in bed for like 10 minutes. I'm like, she's not doing anything.
I'm doing my breathing like dead bugs or whatever. Like I'm literally counting. I have to do 3 sets of 10.
Hmm.
3 sets of 10 reps. I don't know. You don't feel me like doing breathing noises and like tensing up and releasing.
I do feel some movement. It's not like I'm staring at you, but I do feel some movement. I'm like, maybe she is doing her little like butt clenches or whatever.
I can't believe you thought I was just laying there.
I don't know. But you do need to get like a real band. Like,
no, they gave me that band. I have a real band.
Oh.
They made it for me.
Oh, they just look so ghetto.
I know, but they like, I don't know what they measured and then they like tied a knot. Did? Yeah, like it was like this huge thing.
Oh, okay.
Because I have a real band. Mm-hmm. But they said, here, do this right now. So I've
just been having fun. Okay, nice.
Oh, but you're saying it looks cool.
Yeah.
Seeing me wake up.
Yeah, that you're staying on top of it. You're taking it seriously. You really want to do the best to improve your diastasis recti to be able to perform at your best. Because I think I noticed with you, you hate the fact that something's holding you back.
Yeah.
And now to finally see you do something about it, it's like, okay, she really wants to get on that champ level. So I'm excited to see you there.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, because I mean, I feel like I'm so harsh on myself a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a people pleaser. And so I always wondered of like, does David think I'm taking the easy way out? Like using diastasis recti as an excuse, like before. Were you thinking that?
A little bit. Because I feel like you would always be like, I'm going to do this. And you would do it for the week.
Yeah.
And then you'd stop and I'd be like, what the heck? And you'd be like, oh, but my diastasis recti. And I'm like, you knew you had diastasis recti before you said you were going to start. So why'd you even start? And then I kept telling you, like, get it fixed. Go to a physical therapist. And then you would tell me like, oh, like it's impossible to find a physical therapist for that. And then you kind of just, I would say you got a little bit complacent. You're like, there's nothing that's going to happen or it might take too much effort for me to do it. And we've said it here in the last couple of episodes, like you have to get to a point of frustration where you're like, I'm done with this. I don't want to be like this anymore.
Yeah.
And then you put in the work and you said you even almost cried or did cry the fact of how hard it was to get this physical therapist.
That was frustrating.
But now that you got this physical therapist, you were so happy the first time that you went and you're like, you heard the words, basically, there is hope. There is you're going to see progress. And I feel like you caught your wind and now you're going at it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely excited. And so post my family going back into Pilates, like I'm excited.
Mm.
But yeah, thank you for that introduction. How about you? Any updates?
Updates? No, just the same old.
No, you started your social media account. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I started another social media account.
Go follow.
This one is specifically for running, working out, doing challenges, doing races, health, and motivation. It's called the Better Every Mile.
Wow, what a beautiful name. Who thought of it?
I mean, you thought of it, obviously. I was over there asking ChatGPT. I asked you, finally came up with that name. It just goes together with this brand as well. And like we've said here before, part of our vision for this is that it branches out into this bigger organization where we have departments of, there's a health department, there's a marriage department, there's a parenting department, there's a finance department and so on and so forth. And we can help people in whatever area that they want to be helped in.
Yeah.
So, so I started that. I've been trying to post at least once every day, trying to motivate people, doing funny skits as well. And I guess another shout out for Irving. So Irving has been on top of it. He shouted us out today. And I just let him know, hey, you're 100% an ambassador of this brand, The Better Every Day. I think he deserves...
T-shirt.
No, not a T-shirt. a Yeti mug.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think we're going to give it to him next time we see him. So, Irvin, I know you're going to listen to this next week. Just letting you know, there's a Yeti mug with the Better Everyday logo on it coming your way. We love what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's inspiring. I know that other people are watching you and you're inspiring other people. And
your kids are honestly watching you.
For you to shut us out, it's an honor for us to be walking with you in this journey, to be able to help in any single way possible.
Yeah.
And I for sure am going to be there at your race on July 5th. That's a Saturday, July 5th. He's going to be racing. I'm not sure exactly where, but I will get the information from you, Irvin. I will be there. And I'm pretty sure other people will be there cheering you on as well.
That's exciting.
Yeah. You have a full team supporting you. And that's honestly what this is about. And now my new social media is... It's just about motivating, just showing, hey, just an average Joe can, you know, see progress,
yeah,
achieve goals. And then whatever tips that I have, I'll be sharing. Like, I'm an open book, transparent, and yeah, we'll see where it goes. But yeah. I am excited. It is a lot of work. I was telling Grace today that it does feel a little overwhelming, but she gave me this like annoyed look. Like, I post every single day, 3 times a day. You're only posting once. But man, like to shoot everything and like I'm out there running and I'm like, okay, now I got to pull out the tripod and I got to get this angle and this, yeah, other angle. And then I start thinking about how I'm going to mash this all together to like basically tell the story of like, well, this is how we started and this is how it was the middle. Here's how it ended. And, you know, just, oh man, it's a lot. But I'm excited. I recently did a hiking one, which I went hiking with my friends Marvin and Caesar. And yeah, it was crazy. I'd have to hike up and then I would intentionally be ahead of the guys and then I would set up the tripod and then run back down and basically like walk up with them and just, yeah, I had to
double hike.
Yeah, double back and stuff. But I'm excited and I hope that it's going to be a blessing to somebody, if not just for entertainment purposes, but also for motivation, for tips, and yeah, any way that we can help.
Yeah, later money.
Grace is always thinking about money.
I'm always thinking about how to finance our future, you know?
Hustling.
Finance our future. But I feel like we've been on this train of, well, not only just getting better every day, but also like putting in that hard work that it takes that people love the idea of, but once it gets to it, second guessed. And so I've been thinking about this for, I want to say like about 2 weeks. And I told you about it last week and this is going to talk about religion.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not religious out there, sorry, but it's don't use religion as a lazy hack.
Okay, explain that.
I feel like in our day and age, in our generation, so many people, which is awesome, they believe in God, they believe in Jesus, they go to church, then it's like they either get words or through reading their Bible or through community or through people, whatever, one way or another. They're told something or they desire something. They want to see a blessing. They want to do something. And I feel like they hold on to that so much. Like, it's going to happen because of this. And so, that's enough for them.
Okay. And
so I think they put their hope on God, which that's not bad. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not saying that's bad. But then they just leave it there. And we've talked about this before. Like, faith without action is dead.
Right. Okay.
But I think the religion and just this belief in something like is enough for them to just stay there. And because maybe religion doesn't get them to that frustrated point that we talked about,
mm-hmm,
it kind of keeps them there. in this like hopeful state. And so they kind of use it as a lazy hack, like not having to do much work because it's coming. It's coming. It's coming.
Mm. That faith itself without the actions will still produce the blessing that they're hoping for.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's what. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think there's a good amount of people like that. I think sometimes faith, like you said, becomes an excuse for them to not do anything. But they believe, like, either they believe it or they're in some sort of denial where they're like, if I just say this enough,
yeah,
I don't have to do anything. I don't have to put in the work. I don't have to go through the hard times. I don't have to go through the challenges and the struggles. I don't have to go through the character formation. I just can sit here and wait. And those are usually the people that start to complain when it's been some time and they don't see it.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to connect this with my social media, actually.
Go for it.
Because one of my models for my social media, Better Every Mile, is you get what you put in.
That's good.
Okay. And so the people that are sitting there praying and saying, maybe they're not intentionally saying it, but they're like, faith is enough. Praying is enough. Like fasting is enough. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to go through hard times. What I'm doing right now is enough. I'm expecting the blessing. I would then challenge them, what are you doing? And they would say, well, I'm praying and I'm fasting. And I would say, okay, well, let's go to the Bible. What does the Bible say? What are all these examples? Where do you see where somebody prayed for something and they did absolutely nothing for it? And then I would say, you get what you put in. Whatever it is that you put in, that's what you're going to get. If you're not putting any actions in, I'm sorry, don't expect any actions to come back. If you're just using faith as an excuse to not do anything, I'm sorry, you're not going to get anything. Like, first it goes, put yourself into action. Once you start putting yourself into action, then it's about the quality of the action. What is it that you're doing? Is it maximizing your actions? Is it maximizing your effort being put in? So that's where I go, what is the quality of work that you're doing? Because somebody could be putting in work and it's not quality work, but they're still expecting a quality blessing. It's like, no, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
And then after that, then it's the quality, then it's after the quality, after the quality, then it is the quantity of what you're putting in. But long story short, you got to get your butt moving. You got to start putting your action. And I'll always say, God will never give you a blessing just for you. But many of the people that are just sitting there without any actions are waiting for a blessing just for them. And I would also check their hearts and be like, why are you really asking for this? Most of the time they're asking for things just for them. I want a house. I want a car. I want a good job. I want status. I want title, so on and so forth. But then that blessing is never for you. And because it's never for you, God will never just drop it on your lap. There's got to be a price to pay. There's got to be a character formation. Like, again, we talked about it last week. If your legs are not prepared to hold the blessing that God is going to give you, I'm sorry, but you got to work out those legs. And when you are ready to withstand what God is going to give you, he'll drop it on you.
Yeah, I agree. And I want to clarify, because I don't want people to think that we think, like, God is this, like, tit for tat. God, like, God, right? Like, I do this, he does this. If we don't do this, he won't do this. Because he is gracious and more than enough. And I feel like there's been times where so many people, me included, people in the Bible, that they don't do anything and God blesses them because of who he is. And so I don't want people to think, like, it's like the this formula, right? Like, I want to see the blessings and so I have to do this. I do think that God requires holiness and self-control, and how, like, how you said, define, like, the action, right? You do action. And how you said, like, some people, well, there could be many things, right? We talked about it in the waiting season, mm-hmm. how that waiting season, we might get it, we might not, but how it's never wasted. And I think there can be times where, I don't want to say that people waste their prayers, because that, like, talking to God is never a waste. But I wonder if it's sometimes it's like a phone call where it's like we call our family member and we're just ranting and ranting and ranting just to get it off our chest, but mm-hmm. we're not hearing their heart. And so we don't get to know them, right? Mm-hmm. And so I feel like with God, like, I wonder if we, so many of us, and I'm like talking to myself too, like, we go to God and say, like, God, I want this, praying and fasting, how you said, right? Like, all these things that Christians do. And we're not asking him, like, God, what do you have for me? Or how, like, show me the roadmap. Like, guide me the step. Like, what's the first step that I need to take? Like, what's, like, you know, like, to be intentional of, okay, what is it? Instead of just, like, hoping. And again, we're just giving it, like, ranting, offloading to God. And I think he also requires holiness. And so maybe in that moment, we don't know exactly what it looks like, right? But that we're doing something. We're putting the habits of self-control. We're putting the habits, how you said, like, working out the legs so that when that blessing comes, it's like, I'm ready. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, I don't want people to think like if I hear this so often, Sami's example, like, if I give my tithing, then he'll bless me in so much money. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not necessarily, again, you do something and God will reward you. You do something, you know, behavior modification.
Yeah.
But it's like he requires holiness. He requires self-control. And then I believe he will bless you. Does that make sense? I just want people to, like, see.
Yeah. I get you with the whole tithing part. Yeah. Like, I remember, let me just say, certain people that went, if I pray every day, there's a blessing around the corner. Mm-hmm. Or if I pray and fast, the blessing's going to be even bigger. Or, if I tithe a certain amount, like, I mean, we live in the 21st century, so, yeah. And we live in the age of social media. So I'm sure everyone has seen it and everyone, like, makes faces at it now. But, like, the preachers that go, like, who's faithful enough to give, like, $1,000? Mm. And do I hear $10,000? Like
an auction.
Yeah. And just like, oh, like, if you give 10, your blessing would be bigger. Like, no, it doesn't work that way. But I do believe, like, because you said that there isn't, like, a formula. And I think that there is a formula. Not that, like, the only thing that is not, let's say, formulated is timing. Because the timing is God's. Mm-hmm. So, but I believe that there is a formula, which is, like, the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So all those characteristics, like, you being humble, and humble to surrender, which means, God, whatever it is that your plan is, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Humbleness to let God form your character. So, like, all these things start adding up, and these are actions. Mm-hmm. And God will put you through tests and through challenges and form your character through all this. Like, I believe all that is a formula. And, but the only thing that, like, you have zero control of is, like, not because you do more of these things will you get the blessing even faster or, like, a bigger blessing, whatever. Like, whatever God is going to give you, he had already planned for you.
Yes.
Right?
I agree with that. Mm-hmm.
And so, basically, it is the preparation of myself to be able to withstand the purpose and the blessing that God has for me already. So, God, I will humble myself. I will submit myself to you. I will surrender whatever way you want me to move, whatever way you want me to speak, whatever way you want me to be generous, whatever it is, I completely surrender to you. And with that surrender, it's like for my character, for my heart, for my mind, for my thoughts, for my speaking, like all that I believe is a formula. But like where your heart check comes in is, oh, well, David, then are you saying that if I do all these things, then $1 million is right around the corner? Mm-hmm. Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Just because you do this doesn't mean you're going to be the richest person on earth. Just because you do this doesn't mean that you could get whatever, like you can ask whatever it is that you want and God's just going to drop it on you. And we had talked about this, I don't know how many episodes ago, but the things that we ask for, are we aligned with God's will and his purpose? So if we're over here asking for $1 million and God's sitting there like, that was never my will or my purpose for your life. Like, what do you, are you, you're not aligned. That's the way I see it, at least.
I do think, like, there's certain parts of the formula, how you said, like, surrendering, character building, like, that I agree with. And I wish I was better at math to, like, maybe explain it a little more. Because I see it, you know how, like, there's, like, these equations that have so many letters and numbers and things like that. And so before the equal sign, like, to start off with, right, it's, like, surrendering, and then in parentheses, a letter, times...
to the power of 10.
Character building to the power of thing times another letter.
Yeah.
So it's like, we might not know the steps until we get to know God's heart or we get more in tune with the Spirit and we search into his word and he like shows us or guides us, whatever, right? There's certain things we for sure need to do. Like his word says it, like we need to do. And there's other things like he's a creative God. Like someone might be told, give all your money away. You're going to see what I do. And others might be told, invest it. You're going to see what I do. Like we don't know. That's a passage for you and God, right?
Okay.
He will guide you.
Yeah, you're talking about the specific steps, okay?
Yeah, so I'm saying like that's on that side of the formula, right? So like surrendering, for sure, like there's certain things as Christians and like just looking into our word, like this is how we need to be. This is the posture we need to take. This is what we need to practice, spiritual disciplines. But then again, those letters there that like God will reveal to us as we do the surrendering, take surrendering and put it on this side, it'll reveal what that number, that letter is, what number that is, right? Does that make sense? But on the other side, equals, I feel like we don't know what that is until we discover.
Yeah. The equals, I mean, that's where we go into everybody has a unique purpose.
Yeah.
Has a unique.
I can say like, I want my equals to be like this
huge
influencer, whatever. And it's like, he might... God forbid, but this might be like a freak accident. And then let's say you want it to be health. And like, I know this sounds morbid, but like, let's say you get in a freak accident and you're paralyzed and God uses your story to like glorify others and like, and your attitude. Like we don't, so I feel like when you say formula, that's what I'm thinking. Like, yeah, there's certain things we know, but we don't know what that blessing looks like.
Yes.
We don't know what the steps are to get there.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
I get you. I get you 100%. I think there is like a universal like...
Equation,
yeah. Like that doesn't lay out the specific steps like you said. Like let's say part of the universal formula is surrender. Whether you like surrender has to be a part of it.
Yeah.
It has to.
Yeah.
Surrendering is God, you are greater than me. We all have to get to that point.
Sure.
God, you are greater than me. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the one who created me. You knew me in my mother's womb. Like you had a purpose for me. You had a plan for me. So surrender is universal. What that surrender looks like you said, it could be different for everybody. For you, it might be, Grace, you have to give up all your money. For me, it might be, I have to invest it. Or for me, it might be, I don't know, open up a business to give people a job, or it might be
quit my job,
or it might be take a humongous leap of faith to open a business. Like let's say me and you only have like $100,000, and God's like, I want you to take that leap of faith, use that $100,000 to open up this business, and we're like, that's like you're leaving us no cushion. You're like, that's surrender. That's a test of your character. That's a test of your faith. Like, there is a universal like formula, but like you said, the specific steps for everybody may look different.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
And I just, let's leave it at the math equation for analogy's sake, because we already brought it up, because this isn't where I was going, but I'm like, okay, it could work. I feel like solving that is something we need to do. Whether, again, we solve it in God's presence, whether he gives us like hints or guides us or reveals it himself, but like the point is it needs to be solved, right? Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
Solved as in like...
like fulfill our, like figure out the blessing, like do the steps to get closer to God's purpose in our life.
Mm-hmm. And the steps will be revealed through our surrender and humility in connection with God. So God will be like, hey, I want you to do this. Is that what you're saying?
No, what I'm saying is like, okay, that's already in the equation.
Okay.
Right? That's mm-hmm. what's needed. And I'm trying to, maybe this isn't going to sound good, but I'm trying to say like solving problems. I never liked math, just straight out.
Yeah, I could tell. I'm just joking.
Algebra actually wasn't that bad at. It was like the shapes ones that would confuse me, like trigonometry, geometry, all this stuff. But I liked equations because it's like whatever you do on one side, you do on the other side. Mm-hmm. And then as you go, okay, it kind of reveals itself. Follow this equation, whatever. The steps, right? But the thing is, it takes work to solve an equation. Mm-hmm. You have to get scratch paper and try it and scribble, not be afraid to fail and try again. Seek God, which is the mastermind, right? Like the textbook, like God, you're the author. How do you want me to solve this? Like go back to the drawing board. Like it's going to take, especially if you're not a math person like me, it's going to take maybe not one time, not two times, like until you get it. And you're like, God, I understand now. What's this next process? And maybe it's multiple equations in your life. I don't know, right? But I feel like some people, again, using religion or church or this like, I'm going to put faith in like air quotes because again, it's faith without action. It's kind of like starting it or like looking at it and saying like, oh, I want to solve it. And then, oh, but I'm not good at math. But I know like it's going to work out. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's like people, I've heard this term, like God knows my heart. Like I'm not good at math and I want to try it. Like maybe you attempted once and it's like, oh, he knows my heart though. Like he knows I want to. And they're just waiting for it to like get solved. And it's like, God already did the textbook. Like he wrote in the textbook. He handed you the textbook. You don't even have to buy the textbook. And he's just like, you're not willing to study for me. Like you're not willing to sweat a little bit and like try again and fail.
Yeah. Or the people that go, God knows that I'm not good at this. So why would he ask me to do it?
Yeah.
Like, oh, that drives me up the wall. Like, cause those are the people that like, you know, I mean, those are the people that grew up with the parents that gave them everything. And so they're like, oh, well, I've never tried that. So I'm not going to try it.
Yeah.
Cause I don't think I'm good at it because I've never done it.
Or yeah, they just label themselves. And we talked about the power of labels. Like if you say I'm not good at math, you're going in there. You're not even thinking a way to solve this. You just already said, this is impossible for me. You literally have said that.
And I want you guys to know, if this is you, if you have been one of the people that go, I am not good at this, or I believe I'm not good at this. Like you have the people that like, I'm not a reader, or I'm not a public speaker. I'm not whatever, X, Y, Z, whatever it is. Yeah. I am not this. You've already identified yourself as that. And then you go, well, yeah, God would never ask me to do this.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Yes, he would. Because if you look at the life of Moses, how much did Moses wrestle with God at the beginning when he's like, I want you to do this? He's like, but God. And then God was like, no, but I want you to, but God. And he just excuse after excuse. And look at Moses.
Yeah.
God might be calling you to be a Moses, to do something that you're not comfortable with, to do something that you feel like you're not good at. Mm-hmm. And Moses like fought back and then he was like, fine, I'll give you Aaron to help you out.
Yeah.
Like if God's calling you something, even if you don't feel like you're good at it, that's part of the equation.
Yeah.
Like to solve it is now up to you, especially if God clearly is like, this is what I want you to do.
Yeah. And I hope like our conversation, it's never, and any of our conversations, it's never meant to shame anyone. Because I think like many of the times, the reason why we talk about this is because we identify, like we've been there, we've done that. Mm-hmm. And so this, if you feel like, wow, this is like they're talking to me or I identify as that, whatever, like it's not shame. It's okay, cool. This is powerful that you can identify it and you can take accountability. And it's like, how do we get better? Because I've labeled and put myself there so many times. Like I almost said with the diastasis recti, like I could never be a runner. I could never be like, I can never reach the pity of my health. And so I do think though that equation, like how that math thing, I do think it's important. And I wonder, do you think the church purposely, I don't think it's purpose, but like, why is it that this generation like coddles themselves, like puts a blanket on religion and it's like, I'm going to be okay and doesn't want to break a sweat?
Because nowadays everybody thinks that the gospel is all about them. And I mean, you see it with the songs that are sang. You see it with the preachings that are preached. It's all about us. And we lose focus on your life is not about you, homegirl. It's not about you, homeboy. It's not.
Yeah.
We are here with a kingdom purpose. We are here to be a blessing to the kingdom. We are here to be blessing to people. We are here to put in work.
Yeah.
It's plain and simple. We are not here to live a luxurious life. That is not the purpose of your life. Like if you're sitting there busting butt, like I'm trying to make CEO, I'm trying to make this $100,000, I'm trying to make this $1 million, I'm trying to get this Ferrari. Like that's, I'm sorry, that's not part of your purpose.
Yeah. And yes, yesterday I was in the, shout out to Archie, a Bible study hub. But Pastor Chris was giving a class on like the church history, right? And then I've been teaching in seventh grade, you talk about like religion is a huge key in history. So we talk about world religions, but specifically in seventh grade Christianity towards the end of the year. And it's crazy because like the church goes through how we say like the pendulum swings. And so in the beginning, it's like a lot of persecution. Like you knew who were the true Christians because they were saying, I'm Christian, knowing that their life was going to be put at risk, knowing they were going to be ridiculed. Like they know this isn't going to prosper me in any way here on earth. Like I'm not, my family's not going to be blessed by it. Like they might lose a father, a mother. And so it was like so much persecution. And I'm sure like so many people are praying like God may this stop or whatever, right? Like the persecution of the Christians. And so it comes to time where it is and it's normalized. And we're saying how, so there was like this emperor Constantine that kind of like shifted it. He became Christian. And so then it was seen as cool. And now it's even politicized. Like if you want something in power, you need to be Christian because the emperor is Christian and he approves it. Mm-hmm. But now you can't really tell like who's Christian or not, right? Because it's like, it seems it's a good thing. You get power, you get influence. Then it starts being corrupt. They start selling church positions because it's so wanted and all this stuff. But then you have Martin Luther who like his whole stamp and his whole reformation was saying, what are you doing? Because they started like selling forgiveness of your sins and like you'd have to like buy it and like, right? So then it swung again where Martin Luther takes a stand and says, you cannot earn it. Like this is corruption. It's only through grace. But then I feel like it swung by where it's like God's grace is sufficient for me. And it's just like swinging when people now use grace as like, no, it's okay if I mess up. Which God's grace is so big, but his grace is there for you to grow in holiness. It's like a net where it's like you're not going to fall into the pits of hell. Like he's holding you and sustaining you, but it's like you still have to walk on that little like line rope I'm thinking in the circus, right? Mm-hmm. Like I still have to get from this point to this point. Like I still need to get from my sinful flesh to Jesus's perfect, like holiness. But his grace is a net that like, oh, I fall and he puts me back up there. Like continue your journey. It's not like, oh, you fell? Like you're going to the pits of hell. And so like, I wonder like, it's just like this pendulum swinging and now we have to find that balance where it's like, we need to put in the actions. And we're like, people are getting uncomfortable with that. Some people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, and I mean, You've always told me it's always part of history how the pendulum swings.
Yeah.
Like, it just how history works.
I think it's how humans, and I think it's a little bit about, like, we get too comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And then we notice, like, oh my gosh, we messed up. Then we go on, like, freak mode and, like quality, like, control or whatever. And then it, out of fear, and then it goes too extreme. And then we're like, okay, this is bad now. And then again, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, I just, based on this topic and based on what we've talked about, I just truly believe that we all have to just realize that we're not here for us.
Yeah.
And I think if you truly know God, then you know he has a plan bigger than us.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to really humble ourselves because, I mean, although sometimes it doesn't portray itself as pride, like, there is pride in thinking, like, well, no, God, like, if I do all these things, like, you should give me the good life that I'm desiring.
Yeah.
The Bible says you give me the desires of my heart. Like, the Bible says that you'll give me what I ask for.
Yeah.
And it just becomes about you. And, like, that's where we have to constantly be checking our hearts. And if you're married, then have your husband or wife check your heart as well. Like, and again, that's, I'll always rave about me and you about that. Like, there's times where we stop and we're like, hey, this is what my thought process is. Like, what do you think? Like, do you think I'm being prideful? Do you think I'm being, you know, selfish? Like, check me if you need to. And I think more people need to do that because we really just need to really focus on the bigger picture, which is God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about it here before and I'll reiterate it. Like, I think our focus should be the purpose that God has given us. And that's all about an anointing and appointment. And so if we have been anointed, if we believe that we have been anointed, then we, like you said, be putting in the work, put in the study, put in the prayer, put in the reading the Bible, put in the surrender and humility of character formation. Just go through the steps to when God appoints you. Then, like, what I'm saying is, like, surrender yourself to God's plan, and whatever it is that is called to be yours will be yours. Like, okay, for example, if you write a book and you're believing that this is a God-given book, God placed this book on your heart, he's given you the idea, and your heart purely is, this book is going to bless a lot of women or a lot of marriages or a lot of parents or whatever the purpose of the book is, like, I'm going to write this book to help people.
Mm-hmm.
Then a byproduct of you helping people, of you being kingdom-minded, is the book is going to sell. And if you sell a million copies, well, you're going to have at least $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
You will now have a byproduct. The byproduct is not your, should never be the source of your focus. It should be never the source of why you are taking these actions. Your heart and mind should always be, I need to do what God is calling me to do. There will be byproduct blessings. But I truly don't think that the byproduct blessings or the blessings of money and whatever wealth or whatever should ever be our, like, our focus, our main focus. It should never be our main focus.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people's prayers and complaints and cries out to God is, I don't have what I have been asking for.
Yeah. And I think it's like tantrums too, for sure. Like, there's moments where I know, like, what the right, how did we say, like, the right parts of that equation are. Like, the surrender and the killing of pride and the fruit of the spirit. Like, I know some, like, I know, right? Like, there's certain things that I have to do and there's certain things that's not healthy to think, or I can't, like, manipulate God or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think we get so, like, a child, like, so tantrum. Like, I don't care. Like, there's a point where we know and we just, like, keep asking or having, like, a bad attitude of berinche. And I see it as a kid. Like, they know their parent wants a good life for them. Like, I feel like my kids know I love them and I'm going to do everything in my best to give them a good life, a better life than me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like they are at the candy store and they're like, you said you're going to give me the best life, better than you. Like, I want this lollipop. And they start throwing a tantrum and it's just like, this isn't what I meant. And like, no, I don't want to give this to you. Like, it's not. But like, they just keep throwing a tantrum. Maybe they know we're not going to give in or whatever. And so they're just like, it feels good at that moment to throw a tantrum. And I feel like sometimes I do that too, where it's like, God, I know I'm not going to get it, but I just want to throw this tantrum because it feels good. And it's like, God is so loving and he's just like, okay, I see your tantrum. I'll forgive you if you, you know, like, you had a mess up. And that's where like his grace is like, okay, what are you going to do about it now? Like, once your tantrum is done, like, what are you going to do about it? Like, do you know my heart, right? And it's when we come back to like, God, I know that your plans are better for me and I'm not understand. I'm sorry for this mess up, but I'm going to continue trusting in you mm-hmm. and continuing to have that good relationship with you. But that's how I see it.
Yeah. And I think with the analogy of parent and child, like the kids throwing a tantrum over a lollipop, then the parent goes like, all right, how is this lollipop beneficial to you? Let's say like, if we're being like really extreme, and maybe God sees it that way, like kids throwing a tantrum, I want a lollipop. Parent goes like, how is this beneficial to you? Is it beneficial to your health? No, it's not. Is it beneficial to your joy? Clearly not, because you're throwing a tantrum over it.
And then you get sugar high and then you might think you're happy for a little bit and then you'll crash mm-hmm. and be like, I thought you said this was going to fix your problem.
Exactly. And so when we are throwing our tantrums, when we are crying out and saying, God, why haven't you done this? I've been waiting for so long. Like, maybe God is sitting there asking you, like, how is this beneficial to you?
Mm.
How is this part of my plan? How is this purposeful? How is this going to bless more than just you?
Yeah.
And if you ask those questions and you come to the realization, oh, this is just about me, then you need to check your heart and know, hey, maybe I'm not as aligned as I thought I was with God.
Yeah.
And yeah, like going back to the whole like using religion and God as like a reason to be lazy, like, it's sad that people will sit there and just throw those tantrums and have those moments, and they're using God as a tool. When you use God as a tool, you degrade who he really is.
Mm.
And that's not cool. Like, as much as, like, okay, going back to the analogy of a father and son, like, in that scenario where the, let's say a son is crying over a lollipop, I want it. I mean, we've been there before, to be transparent and vulnerable. Like, we've been there before. Like, I'm not going to give you this. Fine, then you're not my dad. Fine, then I'm not going to talk to you. Like,
yeah.
It as a parent, it hurts. Like, you know they're a kid, right? Like, so you give them that grace, but it hurts.
Yeah, we hurt the father's heart.
And just imagine, like, you, like, when we do that exact same thing to God, like, God, I've been, like, asking for this for so long. You haven't given me this. And God's sitting there like, I am not a tool. I just want you to be aligned with my purpose, with my will. If you could only see,
yeah.
If you could only just for a second surrender and be humble enough to just open up your eyes. Like, I want to open up your eyes. And that should probably be a prayer for a lot of us. God, open up my eyes to your purpose, to your vision, to your mission, to what you have for me. Like,
yeah.
Because to use God as a tool, which is, you know, how we're kind of portraying that some people are using him, like, oh, well, I could do whatever I want. I have grace. That's a tool. Oh, well, I can sit here all day long and just ask for my blessing, and I better get it because I'm praying about it and I have tons of faith for it. A tool.
Well, not even I wonder if they're like, oh, this is enough. Because it's a lazy hack, like how I introduced it.
Mm-hmm.
That it's similar to going to the gym, getting a tour of the place, having your personal trainer saying, okay, this is the reps you're going to need to do. And like they do it, the list for you. They're like, thank you. And then you leave and you're like, oh, I'm going to be healthy. And then it's like, did you do any of that? Like, did you stay or are you continuing? But like, people going to church on Sunday, maybe even reading their Bible, but not applying it. It's like the same thing. Mm-hmm. If I were to go to my physical therapist and they're telling me, okay, cool, you're here. And like, I'm not bagging on church because I think it's so important, but it's like you see your physical therapist once a week and they're like, here are the exercises, you need to do it. And then you go home, you don't do it, you keep going. They're going to keep seeing you because you're paying them. Mm-hmm. Like you're boosting their ego. You're another person that they're like, oh, a soul we saved. So they're happy to see you, but your life isn't changed. Because you're not doing none of the application of the beautiful preachings the pastors are giving, the word, like they cannot, maybe they can force you for a little bit to open your mouth and like spoon feed you, but then they can't do the rest or like chew it, swallow it.
Yeah.
Like make sure you continue, if I'm not here, to eat on your own. And so, or like marriage therapy, couples therapy, you go, it feels good that session, but if you don't put any of the tools to practice, you're wasting your time. But it's a nice crutch because it's like, I feel like I'm doing something. I'm taking a step, but you're just walking into the gym. You have to sweat a little bit. It's going to be uncomfortable. You have to keep going even if people are not there. The pastor's not there. Your therapist, your counselor, your partner even. Like, if David walks out, I'm still going to do my exercise. I'm still going to do my devotion. Like, you have to want it on your own.
Yeah, and that's where integrity and accountability come in.
Yeah.
You need it.
Mm-hmm. And so I just want to ask you guys if, because I feel like I've been using religion or like God gave me a word and a promise. And sometimes I use it as a crutch and like, that's enough. Like, I feel like so it's, and that song, like Miracle Worker, like even when I don't see it, he's working.
Mm-hmm.
I love that song, like don't get me wrong. But sometimes we're like, he's working. And so we're like, oh, I don't have to do anything because he's working. And it's like, no, there's still a lot that we need to do on our end.
And I mean, us singing that song, even when I don't see it, he's working. I mean, let's define work.
Yeah.
In that sentence, in that verse right there, like, let's define work. That doesn't mean, oh, he's working in the background and I'm chilling. Like, no, it could also mean he's working in you.
Yeah.
If you allow him to work in you. He's working in your situation. If you allow him to work in your situation.
Mm-hmm.
He's working by helping you get stronger and get better and so on and so forth. Like, he's not just working in the background like, all right, no, you go enjoy the football game. I'm just going to be here in the kitchen cooking.
Yeah. That's good. But I've, again, usually the topics, at least that I bring up, it's like, because I've been there. I'm currently there. Like, I feel like I never want you guys to think like, oh, we have it all together. And like, it's like we're judging or shaming. It's like, no, we're in this together. And our goal is to get better every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And so just ask yourself, like, what, it doesn't even have to be religion, right? You can take off that word and say, am I using this as a crutch? It could be therapy. You've been going to therapy couples counseling forever and you're not noticing change and you're asking, am I using it as a crutch because I'm not doing that work, but it just feels good to be attending. Yeah. I'm not applying it, right? It can be school. You're going to school, but you're not really learning much. You're just kind of doing the motions. But it's like, what are we using as crutches? Are we avoiding the true, like, sweat, difficult process? Because it's hard. To be great, it's going to take, what's your saying? You get what you put in.
You get what you put in.
And if you want to get a lot, you have to put in a lot. But our God is so gracious and he's so good. And so this is, take the grace for the journey and not for stagnation. And we are always so humbled every time anyone watches. Even if we get 2 views, like 2 people took the time out of their day. And so we thank you guys, because I feel like this is also accountability for us. Like, we have to do it once a week, and so we have to get better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of you and the consistency with this. And I know since you've been putting in a lot, Better Everyday Podcast, it's not to bless us, but I said to bless others in so many different avenues, because I think it's needed. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. Like, comment, share this with someone that you think would benefit from hearing it. Let us know what you guys think. It's always a pleasure. And until next time, bye.
Bye.